Well, thank you for being here tonight. I do believe God has a word for you, and the title tonight is The Joy of Faith. You know, tonight I want to show you that living by faith is a life of joy. Because when you have faith for something and you really believe, then you're going to have joy. Our key scripture for tonight is Romans 15, verse 13. And it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I like that part where it says, "Fill you with all joy and peace." Who wants to be full of joy and peace? I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to be full of that. But let's start off with the first part of this verse where it says, "Now may the God of hope." We need to define that word hope, because in America, when we say hope, we can exchange that word for wish. Well, I just wish. Well, maybe this will happen. I wish that this would happen. But that's not Bible hope. Bible hope is confident expectation. You see, they're quite opposite, aren't they? And it's really hard for us Americans to switch in our mind because we're so used to hope being wishing. But hope, you can exchange that with confident expectation. See, if you have faith, then you're going to have hope. Because if you have faith that you have will give you hope. That faith is going to give you that confident expectation that you're going to see what you're believing God for. Now, you may desire something to have in your life. You may desire a healing. You may desire some finances that you need. The list is endless. But whatever, you may desire some things, but desire is not hope, and desire is not faith. Look at Mark 11, 24, our beloved verse. We love this verse so much because Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it." Desire. See, desire comes first. You may desire something. Now, all of Scripture must line up with all of other Scripture. So when it says whatever things you think that you desire, your desire must line up with the will and plan of God for your life. So if your desire lines up with His, which, by the way, it will line up with His if your life is committed to Him, and if you love Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if that's who you are, your desires are going to line up with His. But for this promise to remain true, desire comes first. Let's say you desire something that you believe God has said that you could have. So what things ever you desire, then when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. You see, desire comes first and then comes faith. And when you have faith and you see something in God's Word He wants you to have, that faith will cause you to have hope. That faith will cause you to confidently expect what God has promised to you. So Bible hope, what is that? That is confident expectation. So how can you confidently expect something from God? You have to be fully persuaded that what God said is true. You have to be persuaded of that. Abraham was. We have to read my favorite passage of Scripture. It's hard for me to teach any time without coming to Romans chapter 4. Verse 19, "And being not weak in faith," now this is speaking of Abraham, "being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body now dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." See, what is Abraham doing? He's not looking at the circumstances. He's not looking at what he can see, feel, hear, or touch. He's not looking at the circumstances. Verse 20, "He did not waver," Abraham. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was not thinking, "Oh, maybe he will, maybe he won't, oh, I wish." He was not wavering, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced, King James says, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Notice those bolded words, what he had promised, that is vital, so important, because Abraham was persuaded because he knew that what God said was going to happen. And it didn't matter that he was 80 years old, he was 90 years old, he was 100. He believed God. He was fully persuaded. See, and when you come to that point where you see something that God has promised you in His Word, and you get to the point of believing it, no matter what you see, feel, hear, or touch, or what others may say, or you believe it in your heart, then that is faith. That is faith. You are fully convinced. What does Hebrews 11:1 says? Now, faith, what is it? It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things you confidently expect. What you confidently expect. It's the evidence of things not seen. Look at those words. Things not seen. You know that's what faith is for? Faith is for what you cannot see yet. Because, see, if you have it, you don't need hope anymore. It's already there. You don't need your faith if it's already there. You need faith for what you cannot see. That's when you need faith. Romans 15:13, our key verse. I want to read it again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may, look at these words, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope. That means you know that you know that you know you have heard from God and you're standing on His Word, even though you can't see it. Even though you can't see it. Look what Romans 8:24 says. For we were saved in this hope. Now what is that talking about? Saved in this hope. What is the scripture confidently expecting here? We were saved confidently expecting, you know, that we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to go to heaven and we're going to be with Him. That's the context of what this is talking about. But let's read here. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope, if we confidently expect for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen. See, even though you can't see it, you can eagerly wait because you go, man, it's coming. I know it's coming. And you can do it with perseverance. You can persevere, and it doesn't matter how long, you know it's coming. So you can persevere. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what your body is telling you. That is faith. You know, sometimes people think that they're believing when they're really just wishing for something. And that's really a problem. So how can you tell if you're really believing? How can you tell if you're in faith about something? You can be excited about it. You have joy in your heart. You have peace in your heart if you're really believing. I tell you, I remember, it's been a while back now, but I was here at church, come have lunch here at the church with my sweetheart. And Jonathan and Tracy came in and they had a gift for me. And they said, well, this is a late birthday present. So it's by the end of July. So, okay, I thought they'd give me plenty. They didn't get me anything else. So I opened it up and look what was in there. Oh, and this made me so excited. So excited. A coffee cup. But it says, I'm a grandma. And that's how they let me know little Emery was on her way. You know, and I fully expected that grandchild was coming in just a few months. There was no sign of it. I mean, you couldn't tell. But you know what? I believe that doctor's report. I believe that when he said, she's going to have a baby, I knew that baby was coming. And I fully expected to see it in a few months. Do you believe the report of God's Word? Do you have that kind of expectancy, that kind of a joy and excitement about what God says to you about your life in the Word of God? It says in John 12, verse 37, and this is talking about Jesus. It says, although Jesus had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in Him. What signs are we talking about? Healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. These are signs. These are wonders. These are amazing. Open the eyes of the blind. The deaf could hear. Demons were cast. These are the kind of signs that they saw, yet they did not believe. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke. And this is what Isaiah had spoke hundreds of years before. He said, Lord, who has believed our report? We're talking about Jesus here. Who's believed the report? When Jesus came, who's going to believe that He's the Son of God? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What is the arm of the Lord? That's the power of God coming into your life. So who is the power of God revealed to? Those who believe. So see, if we can come to the place of believing, the power of God will show up in your life. Those who believe will experience God's power. And you know, we think about the people who walked this earth when Jesus did and saw the things that he did, and we would think, you know, we're just puzzled. How could they not believe? But how can we not believe God's word? How can we not believe it when it's so plain and clear that we're forgiven? When it's so clear that he's provided peace in our storms? When it's so clear that he doesn't want his people sick and hurting? How can we not believe? What has God said in his word about your situation? What has God said? You know, there's a in the Bible at the end of the book of John, the disciples, Jesus' disciples, were in a situation. Here they were in the upper room, and you know, Jesus is fixing to be crucified, and he's trying to minister to his disciples, and he tells them, he says, "Now I'm going to leave you for a while." And you know what, how their response? They were sad. They didn't want Jesus to leave. What? No, you can't leave us. This can't happen to you. And this is what he said to him in John 16:22. He said, "Therefore, you," speaking to the disciples, "you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice." He says, now you have sorrow. Now you're sad, I know that. "But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take from you." And then a little bit later on that evening, and it tells us in Luke 22:45, when he arose from prayer, you know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying, when he got through praying, he went back to his disciples. When he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. They were just, you know, sorrow will do that. It'll just wear you out. You ever been there? We've all been there. We're just so upset about, feels like you're just numb. And just can't. And this is where the disciples were. They were, Jesus is leaving. These awful things are going to happen to him. But you know what? Jesus had tried to prepare them for what was ahead. Because see, let's go back up into the upper room where he's trying to minister to them. This is what he told them in John 14, verse 1. He said, and he's talking to him. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Weren't those great words? Those are exciting words. But you know, the disciples, they did not fully understand what Jesus was trying to tell them at that point, did they? Because they were sad. If they understood it, they wouldn't be sad. But they didn't at that point. Eventually, they did. And I want to tell you tonight, you may not understand some of the things that Jesus has said to you in his word either. You may not fully understand. And you might be sad within yourself and you just can't see. But if you will just stick with the word of God, you will. And it'll bring you to a place of faith and joy and peace and victory. The word of God tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we want to please him. And that's how we get, that's how we obtain our blessings from the Lord, is with faith. Let me ask you a question. When you read your Bible, do you get excited about it? But let me ask you, now please be honest, okay? And don't answer out loud. Just really be brutally honest with yourself. Do you read your Bible on a regular basis? I mean, do you read it every day? When do you read it? Do you have a time that you have set? Have you made that a priority in your life? And when you read it, do you get excited and built up and encouraged? Does it make you feel good and give you strength? Let me ask you, when you read your Bible, is it one of the best parts of your day? Honestly now, you need to be honest with yourself, because I remember a time when it wasn't my best part of my day. I remember a time when I didn't read it. Years, I didn't read it. Oh, and I was like, oh Lord, I wasted my life. Not, I could have been all that time reading your word, and Sunday, Wednesday, that was good enough. You know, back then it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know. But be honest with yourself. Do you really read it? And it is the best part of your day. Do you look forward to reading it, or is it an obligation? That was kind of a little sidetrack, but it's so important. It grieves me because I just believe so many really do not read their Bible on a regular basis. And that's just like not eating. It'll weaken you and it'll make you so weak. So I want to encourage you. I remember praying, God, I need you to give me a desire to read your word. Help me. Help me to like reading it. So be honest. And God will be so happy if you really feel that way. He'll be so happy that you prayed that prayer. And if you believe it, he'll answer that prayer. And you'll start to get a hunger for the word of God. And you thought you just can't get enough of it. And if you've not been there, well, you sure missed out. Or maybe you've been there before and you're not there now. Well, just start over. Say, oh, God, forgive me. Give me a love for your word. And see, as you read it, your life will never, ever be the same again. And not when you read it, you've got to read it in faith. And you say, well, what does that mean? How do you read in faith? Well, that means that when you read it, you believe that whatever you read is for you. There's no questioning it. There's no making exceptions to it, that it's for me. And I believe this, and I'm going to stand on it, whether I understand it completely or not. I'm going to stand on your word. That's reading in faith. You read it, and you know that it's for you personally. Let me give you an example. When you read that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Because see, when you sin and you mess up and you really blow it and you messed up your life, you can go to the Father and with a true repentant heart, you can repent and say, God, forgive me. Please set me on another path. And you know what? If you truly believe that, you can have joy in your heart because you know you're forgiven and your God will do what it takes to get. If you'll follow and obey his voice, you can get right back on track and he'll get you where you need to be and you can have a blessed life and do great things for him. Doesn't matter how low you've been because my God, he bore that on the tree for me. Amen. Same with healing. You may have a battle in your body with healing. You know, I battled it all day today. I woke up with a horrible sore throat this morning and all day and was like, here I'm going to talk about the joy of faith. I'm talking about faith. And here I am so sick. But you know, I just had to stand, had to go by what I felt or how I feel. It's the word of God. Healing is for me. And you know, we just think sometimes, Carmen, so you prayed, but you still don't sound very good. No, and I don't feel just great, but my body is getting well. It is healing. You know, we just want everything so instant. God wants us to stand in faith, to believe what we cannot see, and trust in him. We've got to get to that place. Now, I want to encourage you. I can tell you with 100% confidence, everybody in area where you are in faith tonight. It's in 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus, whom you've not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, none of us in this room have actually, unless you've had some special encounter, I would venture to guess, not one of us have actually physically seen Jesus. And we've never seen heaven, but we believe it, don't we? That's what we put our faith and hope in. So see, faith is not that hard to believe in what you cannot see. We believe that. And you know what? That brings the Lord joy. He is pleased with you when you believe in Jesus and believe in your eternal home. In your eternal home. Believing, you rejoice. Now, unbelievers don't understand that. I don't believe in something that you cannot see. But a life of faith, I'm telling you, is a life that's filled with joy. Now, let me ask you, are you down about something in your life? If you're down about something, you need to remember who you are and stir yourself up and declare things like this. I am a child of the Almighty God. The Creator is my Father. The Creator, you know, so-and-so might have made that piece of furniture there, but woo, look at my Father. He made everything. You got to stir yourself up. I'm the apple of his eye. He cares for me. He loves me. He watches over me. The highest price that's ever been paid for anything has been paid for me. See, if you can go over that when you're down and you can say those things and go over that, strength is going to come up. Joy is going to begin to bubble. And when you have a lot of faith, it's going to bubble over. and you'll be a person of faith and joy. Philippians 1, 21. The Apostle Paul had a different view on life than most have. Philippians 1, 21. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Now what shall I choose? I cannot tell." Here's a man, he lived for Jesus. That was his life. It was for him. And it was better to go be with the Lord. But 23 says, "For I'm hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." And being confident of this, so here he's made his choice. "I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." There's my title, The Joy of Faith, because there's joy in faith. And he was going to help them to progress in knowing God, because the more that you know Him, the more you understand about Him, the greater joy, the greater faith that you will have. You know, there's no such thing as a believer who's full of faith and depressed. If you're depressed about something, I can tell you right now, you're not in faith about it. And I'm going to tell you, there's a way that you can tell whether you're in faith or you're in doubt. And when I heard this little thing, we have a chalkboard about this big, and I put it right by the door that I go in and out of the house all the time, because I thought, oh my gosh, I can see where I haven't been in faith about this thing or that thing. Oh, these other things I'm doing pretty good, but this is an indicator. This is going to help you identify where you are in your faith. So here it goes. Doubt, if you're in doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. Doubt, despairs, complains, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Such an indicator. It'll help you know if you really have that confident expectation, that hope that leads, that causes you to have faith and will give you joy and peace and will lead to your victory. You know, when you get in to drive your car, you have this dashboard, and you better pay attention to it, because it tells you, has that speedometer, tells you how fast or slow, and if you don't pay attention to that, you'll be getting a ticket, especially right on this road down over here. it'll tell you if you're getting low, if you need to change your oil. I had this really neat thing I can punch, and it shows all the four tires and how much air is in the tires. Something needs to happen with those. But the one you really have to really pay close attention all the time is that gas gauge. That gauge has an E and an F. And if you don't pay attention to that, or if it gets over on E and you just kind of ignore it and keep going, you're going to be in a position you don't want to be in. It's going to run out. You have to watch out for that. Well, when you choose to live a life of faith and to live by faith, there's two gauges you need to watch. Your joy gauge and your peace gauge. Are you full of joy? Are you full of peace? Then that's a pretty good indicator there is some faith. But if your joy and peace gauges start to go down, I can say this for y'all, start to go down, maybe you need to start building up your faith. Start getting in the Word and getting in prayer and build it back up, because you need to be ready and prepared. I have this thing I like to say each morning. I will prepare myself each day in order to be used by God. I will prepare myself. That's why I do my devotions in the morning. I got to be prepared and ready each day to be used by God. Because if you're prepared and ready, you'll be able to coast through what others have a difficult time with or barely make it. I remember it was on a Wednesday night. Someone came up to me and they were really, really upset about something. They said that someone had posted something really ugly about me and the pastor in our church online, and, you know, trying to hurt us. And they were really upset about it. You know, when they told me, you know what my reaction was? I said, it's going to be okay. I tell you, honestly, it didn't bother me any. I mean, zero. You know why? Because, you know, what came up, rose up in me was, a curse without cause will not alight. That's a scripture. And, you know, my God's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of that. I felt this compassion for the person who posted it. because I knew they had some real issues that they needed to deal with, and their life was going the wrong way. Now, that's not a normal way to react when you find out someone's been talking bad about you. How do you react when you find out someone's been saying some ugly things about you, and maybe they even posted it online for everybody? You see, if it really helped that it was Wednesday night, I've been through a service. Hey, my joy, peace, gays are full. I'm worshiping the Lord, you know, I'm good. So that didn't bother me. See how important it is to be prepared and ready? Let me tell you, there are things that will really tear down your joy and peace. They'll tear down your faith. That's sin. You know, if there's a sin in your life, that'll tear it down. Missing church, of course, y'all are here, so try not to think about everybody who's not here. But be careful. You know, you can fall into that trap of thinking, oh, it doesn't care if I miss that. Yes, it does. You're missing something. You need to be, even if you think you don't need to be here, somebody needs you. They need you. Missing your devotional time, that'll nosedive if I miss my. I think I'm not very nice, am I? If I'm having my devotion and he wants to ask me something, it's like, not being very Christ-like, am I? When I get mad if I'm getting interrupted. But if your life is just filled with too much stuff, it can be good things, but if it's too much stuff, that can wear down on you. Being too busy, having the wrong kind of friends, too much media. And if you stay physically exhausted all the time, just exhausted, man, that'll tear you down too. You got to watch these things. You have to be on guard against those things. You know, we all experience the same temptations and trials in life, but it matters the condition you are in as to the outcome of what it's going to be. You know, I make it a point to lift weights and run, to exercise regularly every week. It doesn't matter if I feel like it. I just do it. Why do I do that? Because I want to be strong and have the energy I need to do what needs to be done. I want to be strong. So a couple of weeks ago, Leslie moved. We helped help her move from an upstairs apartment. So what does that mean? Up and down and up and down. But you know, I thought, you know, this is why I work out. I can go up and down. And we were done, you know. I was not sore. I was not exhausted. I mean, I was tired, but I wasn't like just exhausted. Because I was prepared and ready. That's why I do that. We need to prepare ourselves and be strong spiritually so that we are ready and able to handle life. And you do that, coming to church, having your morning devotional times, or whenever your devotion time, staying in the Word, being around the right kinds of friends. That's how you build yourself up, and you are ready. You need to be able to say in faith, in the middle of a battle, you need to be able to say, I'm an overcomer, I'm a victor. Because 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Who's born of God? We are. If you're a Christian, you have been born of God, and you're supposed to overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. How do we overcome the world? Our faith. It's by what we believe. When we're going through something, we don't see the answer yet, but we are confidently expecting what the Word of God says, and so we will be able to see, we can have joy and peace until it comes. Because in life, there's always going to be something. There's always something to be upset about. Or you can say, could there be something that I can have faith and believe God and have joy in my heart and then have victory in my life? Different ways of looking at things. When your faith is strong, there is nothing that you cannot overcome. And to be able to say that, you cannot yield to the depression and fear because that makes you weak. The Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says in Nehemiah 8:10, the first part of that verse, I underlined it, do not sorrow. That's a choice. You can choose to be sorrowful, or the joy of the Lord is your strength. Or choose to joy in your God. Choose to have joy and peace in what the Word of God has to say. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. See, don't sorrow. Instead, find something to rejoice. Did you say that tonight? Find something to rejoice about. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Sorrow. It's not the will of God. God's will. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's a good way to live. There's no such thing as a person who is depressed and strong spiritually. So if you're always upset about something, something's wrong and you're not in faith, ask yourself, I've been asking myself, now what am I upset about most of the time? Or what mountain am I keep looping around, doing the same thing, messing up over and over again? What upsets me on a regular basis? What upsets you on a regular basis? You need to remember, doubt complains, despairs, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So remember that when you encounter life. If you're doubting, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you're doubt? If you're in doubt? You need to get on your knees and pray. You need to get into the Word of God. Choose to believe it. Find out what He has for you to do. Here's what you're responsible to do. You're responsible to do what God tells you to do. You need to take responsibility to hear from God and obey Him. And then when you do that, you can cast the care of it over upon Him and then enjoy your salvation. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Faith is a choice. It's something you must choose to do. There's no justification for depression. Depression makes nothing better. Do you know you can't worry a bill into being paid? Depression won't bring your miracle. What did the psalmist say? When you feel like your soul is downcast, he's three places. Psalm 42:5, Psalm 42:11, Psalm 43:5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? We all get there, right? We all get there at times. We can be kind of down. I was there this morning. I was down. I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel good today. You can get downcast, but you have to tell, why downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Expect God. Confidently expect your God to do what He says He's going to do. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Don't let yourself get down. You can help it. You're a child of God. 1 John 4:4, greater is He is in you than he who is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame Him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You don't have to stay down. Yes, there will be times like when sickness will hit you or something bad happens or just whatever it is comes your way. Do you have a choice? Are you going to sorrow or are you going to rejoice? Are you going to go to the Word of God? Your joy, your peace. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. You see, when you do things like stay mad at someone, or hold a grudge, or allow bitterness, sadness, and feeling sorry for yourself. You do those kinds of things, you're giving place to the devil to do a work and make it worse and worse and worse on the inside of you. Instead, we want to rejoice always. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to praise my God continually. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You see, when you do this from your heart, when you worship and praise God, strength will come on the inside of you. That's why I love the worship time. I look so forward to praise and worship here at the church because I just get so full of strength. There's something about praising and worshiping the Lord that makes you so strong. But let me ask you, have you been praying about something for a long time and it just hasn't happened yet? Have you? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a story about a lady who had been praying for something a long time and her name was Hannah. Hannah was a lady who was frustrated year after year after year because she didn't have any children and she wanted a child so bad. So we'll take up the story in 1 Samuel 1:10. Please stick with me. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She's pretty upset, isn't she? Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now, Eli is the priest over the tabernacle there in Shiloh. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." So up to this point, she is doubting. She is, what does it say, doubt? Complains, despairs, and is sad. This truly describes what Hannah is at this point. But then something happens. Verse 7, she gets a word from God. Verse 17, then Eli is the priest. So he has a word from God for her. He said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She came to a place of faith. See, faith rejoices and gives thanks and is glad. She's no longer sad. She is happy because Hannah believed the word that was given to her by God through Eli the priest. So here my question, will you believe what the word of God has to say about your situation? Will you believe? Will you believe what the Bible says? This is my challenge to you tonight. Take the word of God that God has given you. Choose to believe it, even though you haven't seen it yet. And you will receive it. Amen. Did you get something?